I'm going to use as my text verse tonight, last verse that we read, verse 8, actually just the first phrase of that verse. We're in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 8. The Bible says, "For from you sounded out the word of the Lord." For from you sounded out the word of the Lord. I got my Greek dictionary out, and I looked up those words, sounded out. And it's the Greek word for those two words, sounded out, is a Greek word, exekiomai. And Brother Jim, you'll have to help me with my pronunciation. I am sure that's not the way you say it. But it's exekiomai. And what that Greek word means is to sound out like a trumpet. Just to like when somebody that plays a trumpet puts a trumpet to his lips and plays a song on that trumpet, what the Apostle Paul is saying to the Thessalonians is that you have, like a trumpet player, sounded out the word of the Lord. Now, he was writing again to this church that he started in Thessalonica, and he said there in verse 5, he said, the gospel just didn't come in word only. I mean, you just didn't hear us preach the gospel. When we preached, something happened in the city. The power of God fell on you, and the Holy Ghost came on you. And when you got saved, you know that you got saved. That's what he was writing to this church. He said, in much assurance. In other words, when you got saved, you got a no-so salvation. And I'm glad when we get saved today, we can have the same no-so salvation. I'm glad that we don't get saved and have to wonder. I'm glad we don't get saved and have to doubt. I'm glad that we have a book that not only tells us how to get saved, but that once we get saved, we are saved forever, and we are held in the hand of God. And he says there ain't nobody or no one that can get it and get us, that our salvation is sure. And then Paul says, and after you got saved, you became followers of us and of the Lord. I mentioned it this morning. If you want to get the blessings of God in your life and you just can't get sight of God, then get somebody in your sights that's getting blessed by God and hang around them and follow them. I mentioned Lot this morning. I think Lot was a rascal. I think he was saved because the Bible talks about righteous Lot. But I think he was a rascal. And he didn't always do right. And yet God blessed him. Why? Because he was around Uncle Abraham. And God was blessing Uncle Abraham so much that some of the blessings of God just spilled out on Lot. What we talked about this morning, Potiphar's house, his whole house was blessed, not because of him, but because of Joseph. And God was blessing Joseph so much that the blessings that God had on Joseph just spilled out on Potiphar. And so if you get to a point in your life where you sort of lose sight of God and you don't know which direction to go, then get behind somebody that's following God and God that God is blessing, and follow them, because if they're following God and you're following them, then you're following God too. And that's what Paul said to these. He said, you're following me and you're following God. So that you, verse 7, so that ye were examples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. He said, you were their pattern. You were their encouragement. You were their example that they could follow. And then he says in verse 8, for you sounded out like a trumpet the word of God. You sounded out like a trumpet that all men are sinners. You sounded out like a trumpet that there's a penalty for sin. You sounded out like a trumpet that the only remedy and the only way to avoid that penalty is to come to Jesus Christ. And you sounded out like a trumpet that if you received him, then he'd save you, give you a home in heaven, take away your sins, put the righteousness of Christ on you, and give you the Holy Spirit to live inside of you. And Paul said, that's what you sounded out. And you didn't do it bashful. You didn't do it in a low-key kind of way. You were like a trumpet player on a hill that blasted out the song of Jesus Christ. So tonight, you'll be happy to know this. I have a one-point sermon. Don't cheer. I have 7 subpoints, but a one-point sermon. Just a one-point sermon. But 7 things I want to say about that one point. Here's my point. We need to be trumpets for God. We need to do the same thing that the folks in this church did, that Paul complimented them on. We need to be trumpets for God. And so I want to say seven things about trumpets tonight that apply to us as trumpeters trumpeting out the word of God. Number one, a trumpet is a finely crafted instrument. It's a musical instrument that's made by a craftsman with care, a craftsman that knows how a trumpet is supposed to work, a craftsman that knows what the purpose of a trumpet is, and as he takes the metal and forms it into that trumpet, he makes it to work the way it's supposed to work, and he makes it to accomplish the purpose it's supposed to accomplish. Now, I will tell you tonight that in the same way as trumpets trumpeting out the word of God, that each and every one of us is a finely crafted instrument. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, the Bible says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." The craftsman that made us is God himself. And God made us for a purpose. And God knows how we need to work as individuals to accomplish that purpose. And so when he made us as a trumpet to trumpet out the word of God, he did it in a way that he knows that we can accomplish that purpose. And he made us in a way so that we will work to accomplish that purpose. And so I say to you tonight, when you share the gospel with other people, when you get ready to tell other people about Jesus, don't be shy. Don't be hesitant. Don't go in to those opportunities with the idea, well, I just don't know how to do this very well. I just don't think it'll work very well. I'm not going to do it because I just don't see that I am capable of doing it. And I'll remind you tonight in this first subpoint that you were made by God as an individual to do it. The way he put you together, the abilities and the talents that he gave you, the personality that he gave you, your ability to speak the way that you speak. And look, we're all different. Brother Leonard speaks a whole lot different than I do. He's a hillbilly. I'm a Yankee. He uses different words than I do. Sometimes I have to go home and get my hillbilly dictionary and understand what he said in Sunday school. But we're different. And I'm sure he's not like me. It's just like I'm glad I'm not like him. But no, I'm just kidding. But my point is, God made us different. We're not all alike. Praise God, we're not all alike. He made us different with a unique set of talents and abilities and personality traits. And he made us all to be trumpets of his, to sound out the word of God. And so remember, the next time you have an opportunity to tell somebody about Jesus, you were prepared by God for that moment. What makes up your life, what makes you you, was put together by God to sound out his word, to sound out his gospel. So you are a finely crafted instrument. Subpoint number two, a trumpet should be polished. Now, it'll work if it's corroded and dirty, but a trumpet is much more effective and can accomplish its purpose much more effective if it's shined up, if it's kept clean, if it gleams in the light. People will pay more attention to a shiny trumpet than they will to a dirty, corroded one. In the same way, the trumpet that we have for God should be kept clean and should be kept shiny. It should we should keep it, our trumpets in a way, our lives in a way that people can look at us, and even if we don't have the opportunity to speak a word to them about Jesus, they can look at our life and they can say, boy, I don't know what you got, but I want some. I don't know what you have your hope built on, but I want some. And so that's why there's verses in the Bible, like that one in Psalms 105, "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Matthew 5:16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. So I encourage you tonight. I remind you, you are a finely crafted instrument. Keep yourself clean and pure and usable before God. You say, and again, let me just stop and say, a dirty trumpet will play. A corroded trumpet will play. It may not be as effective as a clean, shiny one, but it'll still work. And so I say to you tonight that you say, well, I can't tell somebody about Jesus because my own life is in a mess. I can't tell somebody about Jesus because I know there's something in my life that God doesn't want me to have there. Now, you ought to get it out, but that ought not to stop you from sharing Christ. In fact, one of the ways to get your life right is go ahead and start witnessing. Go ahead and start telling people about Jesus. Go ahead and start giving them tracts. Go ahead, start inviting them to church. That'll be a good incentive, a good motivator for you to go ahead and get your life cleaned up and get that sin out. Number three, a trumpet must be learned. You don't just go and pick up a trumpet and start playing like Louis Armstrong. He's the only trumpeter I know, so I know he's dead, but he's the only one I know. You just don't go pick up, you don't go into a music store and say, hey, I want to buy a trumpet and pick it up off the stand and put it to your lips and play. I mean, you may get a sound out, maybe, but if you get a sound out, it sure won't sound much like music. I mean, it just won't. And so, as we are trumpets for God, it's the same way. There are people that when they get saved, they immediately go out and they'll tell somebody about Jesus and they'll see results. They'll see somebody get saved. But there are others of us that we might need a lesson or two. We might need an example or two. We might need to go with somebody that's led somebody to the Lord before and see how they have done it. And so we need to learn. Every single one of us. We need to learn. I don't care how I can remember. I'd been a Christian for a long time. I got saved when I was 16. I went away to college, and when I came back from college, we moved to Ypsilanti, and we were going to a church down there. And there was a guy that went to the church. He was a millionaire. He had hundreds of apartments. He ran a drywall business, and I can remember the pastor hooked me up with him to go soul winning. His name was Russell Anderson. When he was young, he had red hair, and they called him Rooster when he was young. They called him Rooster because of his red hair. And I can remember the first door we went to, we knocked on the door, and he said, now watch, I'm going to show you how to do it. I said, yes, sir, I want to learn. I want to know. He was a soul winner. He went every single week. He won hundreds of people and still going strong. The college that Adam and Chantel, he was the co-founder of that college down in Indiana. So he goes, knocks on the door, and guy comes to the door, rough-looking guy. Rough, I mean beard, and he had tattoos on both of his arms. He wasn't a motorcycle guy, but he could have been a motorcycle guy. And before Mr. Anderson, Brother Anderson, could say one word, this guy looked at him and says, aren't you Rooster Anderson? And Brother Anderson, yes, that's what they used to call me before I got saved. He got saved from a rough life. He said, yeah, I remember having some business with you, and you sure didn't do me right in that business. I was standing there, you know, sort of learning what was going on. I said, boy, I can't wait to see how he gets out of this. Can't wait to see how he's going to get out, what kind of testimony he's going to have. But he turned it right around. He said, you're right, I probably did you wrong. That was before I got saved. But let me tell you about somebody that changed my life and changed the way that I did business. And I saw him take that man down the Romans road and lead him to Christ and win him to Jesus. Somebody that didn't like him because of a dirty deal they'd done in the past. I learned some things that night. Every single one of us, I don't care how long you've been telling people about Jesus, you can keep learning how to do it better. And so, trumpets need to be learned. Number four, they need to be practiced. Practiced. You just can't pick it up, go for a couple lessons, and say, I've got it. I know how to play it. You need to practice that trumpet. I know all of us as parents have gone through those times when our children have been learning practice. musical instruments. And you'd sit there and you'd hear them either on the piano or drums or... Don't worry, Adam, I'm not going to tell any secrets tonight. I've decided I wasn't going to do that. I've ridiculed you enough this month. I got to save my next one till next month. But we, as parents, we'd sit there and we'd listen to them bang on the piano or bang on the drums or try to play a trumpet or a trombone or something like that. And it takes practice. And it's the same way when telling somebody about Jesus. We need practice. We need to do it over and over and over and over and over again. And you know what? The more you do it, I tell you what, and I've said this before, there is, I think after getting saved, seeing somebody receive Jesus Christ as your Savior after you've told them about Jesus is one of the greatest thrills in all the world. Greatest thrills in all the world. And you that have done it, you know what I'm talking about. What a wonderful thing that it is. And you get better at it with practice. Just like you do playing the piano, just like you do playing another musical instrument, the more you practice, the better you get at it. And again, I don't want anybody to leave and say, well, preacher told me that until I learn how to do it, until I put in a lot of practice, I shouldn't do it. I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying you learn how to do it and practice by doing it. And God can use you. I don't care where you are, what stage you are in your Christian growth. God can use you because I'll remind you, and I was going to save this point till later, but I'll just make it now. You are just the instrument. You are the trumpet. It is God that will use the instrument to accomplish His purpose and His will, if you'll let Him use you. So, it must be practice. Number five, the trumpet's finest hour is when it's a part of an orchestra. Trumpet solos are pretty. They're nice. But when that trumpet is joined by some oboes and some trombones and some violins and a piano and other musical instruments that make up an orchestra, they come together and they make a beautiful melody. We need to get people saved. But that's only the start of the job. Jesus said, I not only want you to tell them about me, I want you to disciple them. I want you to teach them all things that I've commanded you. And then I want you to get them into a church so that they can have the fellowship that's required to keep you stirred up and to love and good works. And again, if I was going to say, hey, what's God's orchestra for a Christian? It'd be those three things. It'd be telling people about Jesus. It'd be discipling them. It'd be getting them in church so that they can have the fellowship they need. That's the orchestra. That's the orchestra. Now, I would hasten to say, number six, that the trumpet is probably the loudest member of the orchestra. I think that we ought to disciple people that get saved. I think we ought to. It's our responsibility. It's part of the Great Commission. We ought to teach them. We ought to teach them the Bible. We ought to teach them what Christ taught us. But our primary focus, I know some churches, they say, well, we're going to be a Bible-teaching church. And I think it's wonderful to be I think it's wonderful to be a part of a church where you can learn the Bible. I think it's wonderful to be part of the church where the Bible's taught in the nursery. The Bible's taught in junior church. The Bible's taught in every Sunday school class. The Bible's taught in the adult Sunday school class. The Bible is preached from. I think it's wonderful. I wouldn't want to go to a church where they give book reports. I wouldn't want to go to a church that's dissecting the Da Vinci Code. I don't want to go to a church that's using some other book. I want to go to a church that uses this book. There's enough in this book that we could have church every single night for the rest of our lives and not exhaust this book. Just can't do it. And so I'm glad we got a church that teaches the Bible, but let's never get to the point where our main focus is teaching the Bible. Our main focus ought to be telling people about Jesus Christ and seeing them saved. I'm glad we got a church that knows how to fellowship. Boy, do we know how to fellowship. And I enjoy the times we get together and fellowship. And that's important. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 10, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. And I enjoy hearing the testimonies on Sunday night and Wednesday night where people just say, boy, I'm so glad I'm part of a church family that cares. So glad I'm part of a church family that keeps me in their prayers. So glad I'm part of a church family that loves me. And I think fellowship is good, and you need it. I know you can worship God anywhere you are, but you need to come to this place so that we can provoke you to love and good works, stir you up to love and good works. It's not just the preacher's job to do that. It's every single one of our jobs to do that. And we do that as we live our lives before others, and as they see how we live our lives, and they see our faith. It's how we provoke one another to love and good works. And every single one of us needs that. And I'm glad we got a church that knows how to fellowship. But let's never get to the point that fellowship becomes more important than telling people about Jesus. It's needed, but it's not the main thing. And then sub-point number 7 to complete my point. The trumpet player can't play the trumpet if it's got an unwilling trumpet. I mean, when Teresa went over to play the piano, she got her fingers on the keys, and the piano said, I don't want her playing my keys tonight, and that lid came down and smashed her fingers, you would say we would have a stubborn piano, right? Piano that don't want to be played. Can you imagine putting a trumpet to your lips and blowing with all your might, and nothing comes out? Or how about a trombone that wouldn't slide? I mean, hey, preacher, you're crazy. I know, that musical instruments don't do that. I'm trying to make a point. A trumpet player can only play the trumpet if the trumpet is willing to be played. The trumpet player is the Holy Spirit. We're the trumpets. He wants to play us to sound forth the Word of God. To sound forth the gospel. But if we don't make ourselves available to the Holy Spirit, then there's no sound going to come out. And so tonight, as Paul told the Thessalonians, he says, boy, I am proud of you. You got saved and you knew you were saved, and you followed me and you followed God. You were an example to the world because you sounded out the Word of God. You let the Holy Spirit use you to sound out the Word of God. Notice where they sounded it out. In every place. In every place. The gospel of Jesus Christ needs to be sounded out today in every place. It does. And the Holy Spirit wants to do it. But we're the trumpets. Let's make ourselves available. Let's pray. Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for the truth that's in this book. And I pray tonight that we'd be encouraged by the Word of God to be that finely crafted instrument that you made us, that we keep ourselves shiny, that we'd be practiced and well prepared, and Father, most of all, we'd be available for the Holy Spirit to use us. I pray for folks that in the next day or so are going to have the opportunity, a God-given opportunity, to tell people about Jesus. I pray, Father, that you would just give them the boldness and you'd give them the right words and the right way to say them so that, Father, they can see their families and their friends, the people they work with, the people they come in contact with. I pray, Father, that they could come see some of them come to know Jesus as their Savior. I pray tonight, if there's somebody here that doesn't know Christ, I pray, Holy Spirit, you'd help them see that they're a sinner. And there's a penalty for that sin. And that when Jesus went to the cross, he paid the complete price. And if we just receive him, He'd save us. And Father, I pray if there's one like that here tonight, they'll make that decision to receive Jesus. Bless the invitation. Use it as you see fit. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.